if you could tackle one big thing, that's the beast I want to slay. What do you want the house to be as a part of the legacy?
For me, it's a different way of doing things. The house could help to show that it's okay to have the well-being first, to take care of yourself and doing things in a sustainable way. I think that's the main thing, to change the mindset around it. We need to listen to the community and give it back to them. How do we do that? If we can organize ourselves, then yeah, I think that's the way.
How do we inspire change with hope? How do women redefine innovation, carving their own paths amidst opportunity or necessity? Can these women vividly picture their desired future? Can you, dear listener, feel their passion when they speak? Our view of business and innovation is changing. It's a yes to success and ROI, but not at any cost. Welcome. You're entering the Worth Having podcast. I've enlisted bold women to tell me how they redefine, let's call it, feminine business. Get ready. Each story is filled with hope, ambition, and a drive for collective impact. Women know greatness doesn't happen in isolation. So this isn't just a podcast to listen to. It's a call to action, a call to join a vibrant community and be part of a new narrative. Your support isn't just encouraged, it's wanted. Our lives are shaped by stories, and that's how we, the women on this podcast, connected through She Told Me a Story, a networking event like no other in the south of Sweden. All our lives, we've been told stories. Then we retold those stories, but now we're writing fresh tales. This season, you'll hear about the ideas we're passionate about. When women collaborate, their projects prioritize well-being for all. And our goal? Well, to create inclusive, diverse, and maybe finally even regenerative projects that foster a sense of belonging. And why are we doing this? Because we care. We truly, deeply care. All right. Welcome. Today I'm here for the first episode of a collaboration between The House and the podcast Worth Having. So we'll call this The House Worth Having.
Yes.
And I'm today here with two of the co-founders of The House, Poliana Diaz and Laura Patel Smith. Welcome, girls.
Hello.
Hello.
Thank you for having me, Nick.
Yeah, absolutely. It's so great that we finally get to do this. I'm starting every episode asking, what is She Told Me a Story? And since you are the co-founders of this, why do you keep doing it?
Okay. You want to start?
You can go. I'm a technically a co-founder.
Yes, you are a co-founder. I could say that it's because of you that we kept it going on, because you gave us a place where we could have it. The Ground Co-working in Malmo is where She Told Me a Story is based. And we have these meetups every last Thursday of the month. And I think so far, it is one of the joys of my month, like the joys of my life. Because when we bring these women together and they start opening their lives to us, and we know we did something that we're very proud of. We have this safe space. Laura opened up the doors of the ground so we could have this there. And now we did this amazing safe space where everyone can be their true selves.
All right. And the title of the event is actually the content of the event, right? She Told Me a Story. So women get together. And I think you initially started as a networking event, right? And something that is different to what has been here, has been out so far. And you called it She Told Me a Story because it's not about opinionating in the wild and everybody showing off their expertise. It's all about, hey, I'm that person. This is what I do. Can I tell you a story? And not about, I think you should.
Exactly.
This is what's wrong, right?
It's
just about sharing experiences.
Exactly. Yes, want to talk a little bit about it, Laura?
Yeah, I think that's why, because I obviously saw Polly, Ashley and Vic had done a talk about a year ago. It was International Women's Day. Yeah. And they did a talk at Mink. And I think Ashley posted it on LinkedIn. And I happened to see it and read about She Told Me a Story. And I immediately reached out to Ashley and just said, do you guys need a home? Because the way they'd spoken at Mink and the way that Ashley had written it up on her LinkedIn post just automatically spoke to me as an expat in Malmö that had, especially after COVID, had lost the networking that used to be. We used to have creative mornings, and I think COVID may have killed that off, but that was the only place you could actually go and network and you would know it would be in English. And yeah, I will always have ingrained in my mind my first meeting with the three of them. Ashley trying to show me a presentation, Vic and Polly not letting her because they had too much to tell me. And I think we might have been in that room for nearly 2+ hours. And when they left, I remember I texted my husband and just said, I've met my girls. Mm-hmm. Because I just knew the idea was absolute perfection and needed to happen. I knew that the ground needed to be the place to have it because I wanted the ground to become diverse and inclusive. And I knew that I couldn't let these three people out of my life now.
Oh my God.
So I think it just came at the time when we all needed something new because of COVID, because of wow, it is to be an expat, because of being a plus one in Malmö as well, all of those things, there was nowhere for us to go and be.
So the way I found you was actually, I hosted a dinner at my house to which a friend of ours, Vivica, came. And the topic of the evening was wholeness. What is a whole life? The activities that we do, the emotions that we feel, the thoughts that we think, like what is wholeness? And even though we have full lives, do they feel whole? Do they feel complete? And then I think on an Eventbrite or Meetup, I don't know where, I found the description to your event. And since Viveka wanted to write stories, and I was like, she told me a story. That's where she should go. So I sent her to you with the note, just the link attached. Viveka, I think you should be there. And then she went to your event and she wrote back one sentence, I think you should be there. I think it fits the topic that we discussed. I was like, all right. And then to the next event, event number two, this is where I arrived. So this is kind of funny. But you started it because you saw a need. And ever since, you have built more. So She Told Me a Story was the first step. And then you got so much resonance and you said, like, more can happen based on this. And you founded the house. So that's the next step that is based on the community and the feedback that you get. But it's not the same thing as these events. So tell us, what is the house? What are your ambitions? What are you doing with the house? Okay. Because if you're in Malmö and on LinkedIn, you cannot miss. There is such a hype. It's like the house this, the house that. But okay, what is the house? Tell us.
Okay. Well, for me, She Told Me a Story is like, well, where we connect in the human level. And then we can reach out into the, like, our, how can I say that? Like, we saw so many people struggling with the same things, you know, like I cannot find a job, I don't feel I belong. And we wanted to help these women or this community with something that is business. It's not only the meetup, because we have this meeting tomorrow, because then we can be ourselves and we just show up. But what about the rest of the month? How can we help? What can we do? Because we see everyone struggling with the same things. So we decided to create a solution around it, which I think it's like kind of why the house was born. You know, it's the business side of a community of women that is there and it needs to thrive. Because I think we heard a lot of people saying, well, I don't feel I belong. I go to places and I cannot be myself and I have to like wear this hat. And I don't know, where can we I don't know, develop our businesses and do our stuff. So that's why the house was born. That's how I feel. the house was born.
Definitely. As we've she told me a story, I was late to the party. The house had kind of was developing in the background, yeah, I guess without me knowing. And then I remember Vic was at the ground. I think we were prepping for a she told me the story, and she said, oh, I just need to show you what we're up to. And she kind of showed me like this deck about what the house was going to be and how they kind of envisioned it. That it was like going to be like this space where female entrepreneurs can kind of gather and get information and help and access and education. And she was
she
on about
you.
Yeah, she pitched me. She's very good at pitching. Yes,
she is.
And she pitched me this incredible place and said that did I know of anywhere for it to be? She was looking at buying like property or renting property. And of course I was like, well, bring the house to the ground. It's perfect. The ground has always been a home for startups. And I've worked with startups. I've been in a startup that was owned by two female entrepreneurs and unfortunately couldn't get funding. So I've seen the good side and the bad side of being a female entrepreneur. So it was like, yeah, bring it to the ground, because I realized this idea was just so huge and so massive and just could help so many women, but not just women, like obviously non-binary as well, but also to kind of wave the flag to men that this is the place to come and be and also help us lift women. And as you say, to come and be yourself, whether you're having a shit day, a good day, you signed something, you didn't get it, whatever it is, you can actually come and be yourself. And that's how I see that the house was born and why it ended up at the ground.
So a week or two ago, I gave a talk at the ground about courage. Courage is a scary thing. And the natural enemy of courage is doubt. And we all carry it, right? As persons, as groups, as an entire society or nation. And doubt, sometimes it can be the smallest doubts, but it can sabotage the whole courage thing, right? Massive courage, massive movement, and then one little tripwire, one little stone, and damn, it makes you fall. And then again, this podcast that we're now doing, this season, is all about hope and seeing better things in the future. Hope is not some fluffy thing, but hope means if you can see better in the future, you're also very well aware what doesn't work right now in the present. So let's be realistic. How do you guys deal with doubt? Maybe not even your own doubt, maybe doubt that other people carry or project onto you. Because there is the courage to stand up for yourself. There is the courage to call out bullshit that is established. And then there is the courage to create something yourself. And if you are the one creating something yourself, which you guys are actually doing, you are exposing yourself. Other people are like, yeah, but you should be doing it like this. Or it shouldn't be exist at all. Or you become all of a sudden the one that are being addressed. How do you deal with this courage and doubt issue?
I would say resilience is a very strong and important word for the members of the house. I think we all have a very great resilience kind of coating. Mm-hmm. It's probably the best way to describe it. But I think as well, it's hope that gives you courage. We already have given like our first checkout. And when you see someone come in and they have like pitched and it went well, or even if it didn't go well, but just the hope we give to female entrepreneurs to go out, be themselves and not put on this facade. They actually just want to do it for the right reasons and not to fit in a box. That gives us the courage to then keep going and to want more and to help more and to do more.
Oh my God, yes. Yeah, when I'm sitting there doing my work and I can see this, we've been reaching out. And then I remember one founder, she's just starting her company right now. And she came to me and she said, well, I'm sending you in a few weeks the deck for my company. And I said, hey, you don't need like to put the perfect deck. Put the slides up. We can work on this together. Mm-hmm. You know, I feel it's like, more about this, you don't have to have the perfect pitch to come to us. You don't have to have the perfect deck. You can come to us. We can work on this together. And we will tell you if this is a
wow, this is a very good idea, or this is an idea that we need to work on, because each one of us has different expertise and we can touch upon different things on this path. So we make it easier, because to be a founder is so lonely. Mm-hmm. It's so lonely to create something, right? Like mm-hmm. we feel so lonely and we feel very much left. And if you have this community around you, if you have people that you can just like, hey, can I have a coffee with you? I have this important call tomorrow and I don't feel confident enough, and we can just have a coffee. I feel this is just like a big thing for a person or for a woman to have, because it's very intimidating. This startup world is very intimidating. We know that. So just to know that they have this channel, I think it's a big thing in the community.
So every successful startup that we see now, it's always so clear, right? Hindsight is 2020 and everything, like, yeah, that's how it happens. And yeah, it's clear and it's obvious. But when you're in it and when you're at the beginning, it's not. You have a million options of how you want to help the women in Malmö to start something. So if we think about, you are now at the beginning, but let's skip ahead. Let's talk about legacy building. Obviously, you cannot say what the actual legacy about the house will be, but like with every company that is now successful, we know that they started somewhere and then there was iteration processes of, okay, we thought we're going to do this, but actually this side path, that is something you should focus on. So Netflix has never been Netflix what it is now. Apple has never been all these things. What is your first legacy? What is the first draft? What do you see now? What do you want the house to be as a part of the legacy, the first step, basically, to whatever in 10 steps, well, we don't know, but what's the first step of your legacy? What are you focusing on? I have something that I thought about, but I want to hear you first.
I guess, like, legacy is in, like, you mean, like, yeah, so, like, the first steps of it, so not what it could eventually become, or...
No, I mean, we know that whatever you start now, you probably don't end up doing if you're successful. 10 years from now, it's like, oh, we started as this, and then we've become that. But what is that? It's still that first step had to happen, so then the other 10 could follow.
Yes, no, exactly. Oh, difficult. I think it's the foundation for me would be kind of just, well, the community for one, and helping our first few female entrepreneurs kind of on their way. I think that would be legacy for me, because if you know that there's going to be companies out there, no matter how big, how small, how whatever, that can say, oh, I started at the house, or the house helped me, or the house gave me a step up in whatever way, I think it's legacy to me that we've helped someone achieve something. Like, obviously, everyone always used to want their companies to become unicorns, and obviously they've changed that now, that they want them to become donkeys. They're slow and steady. And the house is definitely a slow and steady for me, because it's going to change the world one step at a time, one female entrepreneur at a time. And that is just a constant legacy being built, in my opinion.
Yes, this is beautiful. Thank you. But for me, it's like, yeah, of course, it's the same thing. And I see also it's a different way of doing things. So maybe this is our legacy. You know what I mean? Like, of course, like the vision of having like the house in every company for, you know, in 10 years, like I wish we could have like a department of this, like how to make women feel they can thrive in the space that you have, you know. We all know the invisible women data and everything, you know, that the world is made for men and all of this. And I think the house could like help in this sense to show that it's like, it's okay to have the well-being first, you know, to take care of yourself and doing things in a sustainable way. And I think that's the main thing, like to change the mindset around it, you know? It's a big thing, but it's something.
So I've been putting you here on the spot. You have not seen the questions. And obviously I sat at home and I thought about it.
Okay.
So can I read to you what I wrote? And then you just tell me like, yeah, or like, you're like, man, you're way off.
Of course.
Yes, of course.
So when I thought about this question, what's the first step in your legacy, to me came the words money and culture. We all need an income. And we all need to be integrated, and we need to be respected, and we need to be able to give, right? So that came to me. And you started with building a community. And then whilst helping each member of the community, you are a startup. So you're helping other startups, but you're a startup yourself. So culture clearly is important. And everything that is culture in the innovation system right now is towards men, geared for them to succeed, and women have different struggles, and the innovation system right now builds sometimes more hurdles than it helps. So culture is a shared way of doing things with passion, which you girls are clearly doing. And it's also an agreement. We agree to certain rules of how we are being together, how we come together. Culture is 1,000 things 1,000 times per day. It's a living system. And the stronger the culture, the less corporate, the less procedure, the less organization, as in the hard facts, you will need. So a strong, healthy culture holds so much strong trust that it supersedes any process. And that's what I see for the house happening.
Yeah, you had time to prepare.
Yes. Yeah. Clearly, right?
This is how I see you,
and as somebody who's working with you on the house, like, okay, what do I want? Even though I'm a one person show right now,
I would like to have this answer. Can I?
Right? It's me. Thank you, yes. But how do I create a culture for myself? Because at some point, I would like to write checks and have people working for me, right? But it starts with me. How do I do 1,000 things 1,000 times per day? The way that I treat myself, the more respect and understanding I give myself, I first need to do it with myself before I can give that to somebody else. If I beat myself with a stick, I will beat my employees with a stick, most likely.
At least you get that now.
Yeah. So when you think about what else, when you look into the future, I also ask this all the guests. So what is the future of, and then fill in the blank, business? Is it women education? What are your metrics that you measure yourself by? Because if you want to do things differently, so traditional businesses go by the metrics of profitability, ROI, production output, all these things. And you have more of these intangible things that you value, like hope, community, togetherness, significance. But what else? If you could tackle one big thing, maybe you're not there yet, but you're like, man, that's the beast I want to slay. Does anything come to mind?
I can...
Go on. Yeah. I can see Polly's got something.
Itching.
She's cooked.
Well, I'm doing my thesis for communication for development. I'm doing a master's at Malmö University. And well, I've been struggling a lot with everything. But right now, in the beginning, it was all, why did we want to create this community, right? Who do we want to empower? Because people say, well, we're overusing the word empower. We don't need empowerment because we already have. And I feel like maybe I have a different vision because I come from a different background with intersectional background. I see things differently. And for me, it's all about empowering because, well, we're in Sweden, right? Like the almighty Nordics. So for me, if not here, where, you know, if these women are feeling left out, because that's how I felt, it's mm-hmm. my experience here, like, how can we be safe in other places of the earth? If it's not here, then where? So coming back to what your question was, is about changing public policies. Like, you have to think about, it's not only checking boxes mm-hmm. and, well, we already have like equality because women and men are in the same like 50%. Like, yeah. No, we have intersectional women. We have international women. Malmo is the perfect place where we can have these discussions because in here we're so international. There are so many people here that are like the plus ones that come with their husbands. And we're professional women. We had our own professional lives outside Sweden.
Laura here was the same, right? You were a plus one as well. Mm-hmm. And you have to start over your career. And what is like, how does the public system works around that? Mm-hmm. Do they really have a protocol? Because they need to have a protocol, mm-hmm. where you go through all these steps to get integrated. Of course, Sweden is amazing. It has a lot of policies like, mm-hmm. to include, and but I don't think it's enough. Mm-hmm. Maybe it has to have more of a, now we're going to the academic language.
Yeah.
Like a participatory methods, you know, you have to ask around. It's bottom up. It's not top down. You have, mm-hmm. to listen to these women. That's where we came from. We need to listen to the community and give it back to them. How do we do that? And if we can organize ourselves in order to give it, mm-hmm. you know, then yeah, I think that's the way. That's how we figure it out. And then the big goal would be for Malmostad, for starters,
yeah.
or Region Skåne, to, yeah. see that we are trying to do things, yeah. for these women right now.
And again, it's not just about receiving, right? Belonging is not just something that the group, the society gives to you and that you are seeking. But a major, major part of belonging is, how can I give? Because I have ways of giving and participating. And if you're not being asked to participate, or if you're just saying, like, just be happy, we give you everything that you need. Like, if you're economically stable and safe and stuff, that is not enough, right? It is the participatory, right? As you said, like, we want to be part of the community. We want to, it feels incredibly good to show up for somebody else, right? And that is what we want. When we come here, we don't want to standard of living economically and everything is great here and I'm going to sit on the beach and lay in the sun. I mean, we are in the Nordics. There's a limit.
6 months out of the year.
Right? But you know what degrees. I mean? We don't come here to be lazy and just to live off the quality. We want to contribute. That is a big part of belonging. And yet I have to ask you guys, the goal of every business is, even though you have different metrics, still there needs to be an ROI, return on investment. There needs to be an income. So how do you guys balance the pursuit of like social impact through community building, which you are really good at, and then with the need for economic sustainability? You want to be a business as well. How do we build businesses that are not meant to plainly produce something that others can consume? So it is more regenerative when we talk about regenerative lifestyles. It is more circular, as in give something, bring something back. And I just want to say, it's okay to say we're figuring this still out. But how are you doing it? Because whilst helping others, you're still a startup yourself.
Definitely. And I think the we're figuring it out is a great way to start the answer. I think like circular is another great way to kind of explain it, because I see is what you give, you get back. I think there will be female entrepreneurs that have got there and remember the struggles and see how we're trying to help where they started from, and perhaps we could get funding. There's too many options, I think, is why we are still in the let's suck it and see stages. Yes. Obviously, yeah, like Polly said, if we can help Malmostad, then maybe Malmostad can help us back. There's quite a few different kind of options out there, and we're trying to see which ones to pull on and start approaching.
I think we just started, right? We launched in October, and it's like, what, 7 months now? Yeah, how many? Yeah. So we're like, yeah, we're just figuring things out. And of course, as a business, it's not easy, right? Yeah. And as a startup, we need to organize ourselves better in order to start raising money. Because right now, we need a good plan to start getting money, mm-hmm. actually. So, of course, we all need to eat. So we are all co-founders, but we have side gigs going, mm-hmm. on. So I think in a very near future, we have to have this. But yeah, I think one of the ways of getting is public funding. And I think the private sector as well, if they are really trying to reach the SDGs, you know, the SDGs around equality and DEI and diversity. Well-being. Yeah, exactly.
So I think there are a lot of ways of, it's not easy. I'm not saying it's easy, but yeah, I see the impact in the social side already. So, and we have like data so we can prove things. And that's how I think we're going to, yeah, pave our way.
Unfortunately, saving the world is always one of the least paid.
Yes, exactly.
Nobody pays Superman,
no,
right?
No, exactly. That guy does it all for himself.
Yeah. Absolutely. So let me ask you another question that I'm asking everybody who's here. How do you approach collaboration and partnerships? And who do you want to reach out? So if people hear this, it's like, wow, let me look them up. This sounds good. I want to get involved. Who are you looking for? And when it comes to building a community, the people that you serve is women and non-binaries. But if I heard you correctly, you have absolutely no problem with taking on help and support or mentorship also from the male department. So who, what kind of person, no matter the gender, do you want to work with and collaborate with and help you grow your vision?
A very generalist answer would be anyone who can help us help founders from the very early stages. So if that's coaching or writing a good deck or knowing how to get access to funding or those very early steps, I think if you want to give back and help with those kind of areas, we would definitely be very interested. I think working with us with events is also another great one. We see how events help our community and how much Malmo thrive on events. So I think it's also like we're always very open to kind of collaborate on an event. As long as it is true to our why, we will, of course, always be very interested.
Yeah, I think, well, anyone who's interested in developing our community. And of course, right now, we can only like act locally, maybe. Mm-hmm, yeah. Like, we're reaching out already to like Lund and
Helsingborg.
Yeah. And I think it's like we don't have the manpower right now, or woman power right now. But I think if you would like to reach out to start something in our region, we can always, of course, extend an arm and a hand. And we can collaborate, of course. Because our vision is like to Malmo to become into 2030. Oh my God, it's just so hard to phrase it.
It's just 6 years from now.
Yeah. We want to be like the place for women in entrepreneurship in the world, actually. Or in Europe, I would say. And for me, it's like anyone that wants to, you know, help us in this endeavor would be welcome. And of course, we have just to align and see what to,
And then also maybe the big ballers, they can write some checks, right?
Oh, God, yes.
I know your personal story. So you came as a plus one, Polly, with your husband working for a big local company. I came like this. And then there's onboarding for the men provided. And the women are left to fend and see, like, okay, how can we support our employees?
So the three of us, I didn't realize that.
Yeah. How can we help the person, the talent that we hired by taking one more worry away from them in their private life? Like, yeah, but as soon as I come home, we're facing different problems as a couple, as a family, as settling down. Because if the talent never settles, if the family is unhappy, they will leave again, right? So there is an interest in those big companies that are recruiting internationals to really help their talent thrive beyond just in the workplace.
Oh, 1,000,000%. I think, and it's such a misunderstanding concept, and I don't understand why, but to gain creativity and innovation, you need a diverse and inclusive workforce. And I think if people realized in not just Malmö, anywhere, that looking at expats, especially their plus ones, is a massively untapped talent pool. Like, massively. Like, the three of us in here are highly educated and we're just left in an empty talent pool. And it's insane. The innovation and creativity that some companies will miss out on because they will not open that talent pool up to international, like, anybody, not just females, anybody. just, it baffles me, to be honest, because I think from the personal perspective, it's such, it is a very lonely place to be a plus one. Your partner is trying their best to be onboarded, to kind of get in, to know their colleagues, to be doing their job good.
And it's under pressure to perform, exactly, to prove their worth.
And then they have to come home and they've got this lonely plus one that's been on their own all day feeling like they're not good enough, and they have to then support them. It's very hard for the partner that brings you here just as much as it is the plus one. And I just think it's such a untapped talent pool. It really is.
And I mean, let's face it, right? I have a higher degree than my husband. Because what do when you can't find a job? You get more education.
Yes, exactly.
You get more education. Diversity is difference of opinion, and difference of opinion will bring some kind of friction. It doesn't mean that the friction is going to be rough or bad or hard. It's just going to create heat. It's going literally creating energy, right? And it doesn't matter where we are from. You're from the UK, Laura. You're from Brazil, Polly. I'm from Germany. We were all raised the same way. And that is work hard, get those grades, prove your worth, and then you'll get the good opportunities. And the truth is, it's not like that.
No, exactly. And it's even harder for others as well. I was talking to someone at the house the other day, and she was talking to me about asylum seekers, but a specific group of female asylum seekers with degrees, because they've lost everything and had to have just been moved to another country. And then suddenly they have absolutely no worth. Their degree means nothing. They're just nothing. And it's like, and I'm felt like I was just sat in my little privileged space thinking, God, I hadn't even thought about that. Yeah, that obviously you come over, you've had your whole life disrupted, and then no one even cares you have a degree.
We chose to be here, right? And it's hard. Yeah, and then others do not choose.
Exactly.
Okay, let's
lighten it. Let's
pivot here.
Sorry,
a little
it's
bit.
A very hard,
a little bit more enthusiastic
it's a very hard
talk.
Topic, yeah.
This is all about hope and all the things that we want to achieve. So tell me, looking ahead, what excites you about this adventure of entrepreneurship that you are in right now?
It does really excite me. And I think it's, you do like the FundMe event and you see the amount of women in the room and men, and you just look at what the panelists are speaking about, what the investors are speaking about, and you can't help but pat yourself on the back and go like, job well done. Like, look at this room. Look what you're doing. We are actually changing the world. Yes, it might be a tiny scratch, but it's still a scratch. And I think you just have to remind yourself that that's what you're achieving every day. Like, the house is achieving so much with so little time. Like you say, 7 months. We've put on two fantastic events. We have a community that's thriving. We have, like, our first female entrepreneur that was the first to sit with us at the house now has her own office and her own team. We wrote our first check. It's just incredible. You go to bed some nights and you just think, how are we doing this? But I want to keep doing it. It's so energizing.
I mean, it's very hard, right? Beauty and business from scratch.
Yeah.
Like, it's not something that we like some franchising or of course, exactly. We benchmark and we look at, you know, the ones that are the companies that are doing similar works out there. But it's like recreating or doing something unique here with our community. And it takes a toll mentally and physically speaking, you know, it's very hard. But it's very fulfilling when you're out there. When I'm doing the research for my thesis now, and what I read is just like, wow, you know, because you don't know, but you change people's lives. And when you read something that is like, well, I decided to be an entrepreneur after attending one of your meetups, and I'm like, okay, you know, well, somehow we're not like super heroines here. But it's like superheroine sounded weird, right?
But you are.
Yeah, but like, we want to create, we are impact driven. We are impact driven women, and we want to change the actual narrative. So we're doing something.
And when we put our heads in the pillow, we need to be proud of ourselves.
Took it like out of my mouth, because my last question would have been, what do you want to be proud of in the future? And let me rephrase that. Everybody who agrees with what we just said here and wants to be on the right side of flipping history and wants to be proud of themselves should flip and reach out and work with you girls.
Yes. Oh God, yes. A million percent. We need to, was it 1% of funding goes to women? And I think that even dropped this year to 0.9.
Yes.
So even if we can just have a little scratch at that number and get that back up, and obviously we want more than 1.1%, but if we can get it at least going in the right direction and feel that we've helped in some way.
And the whole idea of the house is to become the infrastructure for other women and get more funding, right? So the more funding you get, the more you can get for other women.
Exactly. And I must say as well, I'm very privileged to have a board at the ground that believes in me and believes in the house. So that's why we are able to have a space to put events and stuff on and let me have the house there and stuff. So I just, and they're all entrepreneurs that understand what we're building and what it can be. And I think we just want more people like that to come in. You can sit with us, as they say in Mean Girls.
Yeah.
You can sit with us. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you. This
was a pleasure. I can't wait for this to air. It's going to be good. And if this spoke to you, come and reach out. Reach out to me through the Worth Having podcast. Reach out to Laura through the ground or through Polly and all the other girls, including Laura, through the house. Again, if you are in the Malmö area, and you are on LinkedIn, and you cannot miss these ladies. If you are in Copenhagen, reach out as well.
Yeah,
right? Get on that train. Like, come on. Yeah. If the Nordics are all brothers, then we are all sisters. So we can do hard things together.
Yes. And we've become very Swedified. We love coffee. So we love having coffee and fika with new friends.
And I already had the conversation with your local sugar pusher, Amna, so yes. She will provide. So it's all taken care of.
Amazing.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hey there, before you rush off to your next task, remember, reflection is the critical component of learning and growth and innovation. Take a moment to think about what resonated with you from this conversation. What struck a chord with you and why? Because that is not just information. That is the valuable signal you should act on. And speaking of taking action, if you are eager to boost the mental and emotional well-being within your organization, reach out to me. Contact Nicole Schaltesik on LinkedIn or through this podcast for a consultation on empowering your employees to build a healthy mental and emotional can-do attitude and fostering a culture of resilience. Let's provide your team with the time and framework to reflect on their lives and take ownership of their well-being, because taking ownership is engagement. How about we guide your team through a 360-degree life review? It is awareness that always precedes wise decision-making. Only the ones who know what is going on without getting wrapped up in the action are able to distinguish between valuable signal we should act on and noise that is clouding our judgment and we should learn to ignore. Together, we nudge your team's attention to how they are capable and how they can practice self-leadership. And as we wrap up today's conversation, let's also reflect on today's story. We are reminded of the profound impact community-focused projects can have on all of us. How can we leverage this momentum to drive positive change in our lives and communities? Or in other words, if today's episode resonated with you, reach out and connect with my guest. Thank you for joining us today. And together, let's say it with Obama's words. Yes, we can. We can cultivate hope and support and positive change for everyone we care about.